That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you, Tasha. Let's pray, shall we? Father, please, through your word, would you show us what an amazing Heavenly Father you are? Would you equip us to be able to trust you in all things? For Jesus' sake. Amen. Worry is a whirlpool. Worry makes you feel like the water is spinning down the plug hole. And everything's just going round and round and round and round. It's dragging everything with it. Worry can be all-consuming. It quickly becomes the most important thing in your head. You can't think about anything else. Today, Jesus is going to help us get our priorities straight and break out of that worry whirlpool before we spin down the plug hole. Last week, Jesus began to show us how we should treat our money and our stuff. He warned us that money demands devotion. Look at verse 24. This is where we finished. He said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to this one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. If we're not careful, money will take our devotion away from God. If we're not careful, our stuff will take hold of us and dominate our lives and our thoughts. And so Jesus continues here in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. So simple, and yet so hard. Jesus says there are more important things in life than food, drink, and clothes. And we know that. But at the same time, we need all of those things to live. They're bare necessities. Often, our most paralyzing worries are all to do with stuff that we can't do without. We need food. We need drink. We need clothes. We need money and housing and health and sleep. They're not luxuries, they're necessities. And when the stakes are so high, when our lives kind of depend on it, it's easy to worry. We start spinning down that plug hole. I wonder if worry is an issue for you. I'm going to guess it probably is. Everyone worries. For some of us, it's a real daily struggle. Some of us can benefit from help from doctors in the form of medication or counselling. For others of us, it's not quite like that, but it's still an experience that we all share. Everyone is prone to worry, particularly about the things that we really need. But Jesus has something better for us. He doesn't downplay our struggles. He knows these are real needs. He's not denying that they are needs. And some of us here this morning find ourselves in really difficult times. So he's not saying that we shouldn't have any concerns. He's warning against over-concern. And so Jesus encourages us to live the trusting life. He looks lovingly at his royal family and he gently says, "Don't worry, there's no need." Maybe for some of us that's hard to believe, but it isn't a telling off. He's not attacking the anxious. Instead, he's going to show us why we don't need to worry. He's going to help us see how amazing our Heavenly Father is. He's going to give us a way out of the whirlpool. And it starts with this. Here we go. Here's the first thing. It starts with, have a good look. Have a good look. Go bird watching. That's the command at the beginning of verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. It might surprise you that I'm not much of a bird watcher. I can just about identify a pigeon. But I did actually go bird watching once. It was actually quite interesting. And it's true, all the time that I was watching birds, I didn't see any of them sowing seeds. I've never seen a seagull on a combine harvester. Birds don't store away in barns all of their cereal. And yet, God provides. He is their chef. He gives them food. They don't have any savings, but God provides. Another command there in verse 28. Another command to use your eyes. He says, why do you worry about clothes? See, use your eyes. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. It might surprise you that I'm not much of a botanist. I can just about identify a dandelion. But we've all seen flowers before, and we know this is true. They don't make their own clothes. I've never seen a sunflower with a sewing machine. Verse 29. Yet, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. God provides. He is their tailor. Solomon was the flashiest king. He had the best stuff, the nicest clothes. And yet not even his clothes compare with the glory of an orchid or a rose or a... I've run out of plants that I know. Birds don't have any savings. Flowers don't have any skills. But God provides. So Jesus says, use your eyes. Take a look. When you're worried about the stuff that you need, have a good look around you. And you will see that God provides for the things that he has made. God is provider. That's who he is. In the words of that psalm that we started with, all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. This is our God, a God who provides. A God who has complete control over all of the world's resources. He has complete control over food. Do you remember our Lord Jesus feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Finding food is not an issue for God. He has complete control over drink. Do you remember our Lord Jesus turning water into wine? It's not a problem for him. He has complete control over clothes. In fact, God is the first person to ever create proper clothes. When Adam and Eve in the garden rebelled against him and realized that they were naked, it was God who clothed them with animal skins. A hint of the sacrifice that was needed to cover over the shame of sin. Have a good look at the world that he created, and you will see that God provides for the things that he made. When we're tempted to worry about the stuff that we need, that's a huge comfort. Our God is provider. Creation proves that God has the power to provide. Our boys have been sleeping really badly. The other week we were in Devon, and Riss was up again in the middle of the night with one of the boys. Now, sleep is something that you need. You need sleep. And it's easy in that situation to worry. How am I going to cope with tomorrow? But she could see through a window. There wasn't a blind on the window. She could see through it. And in Devon, the stars are really bright. And as she lay there looking at the night sky, she suddenly realized, that's my God. And she said it filled her with a peace. And I think that's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about here. If you have a good look at creation and see that God is your provider, that will help you not to go down that whirlpool of worry. That's been a new discovery for me this week. A new way to battle worry. I've not seen that before. And I think that's really helpful because when we worry, we're looking at the wrong things. Either we're looking at the problems themselves, or we're looking at ourselves and the fact that we can't cope, and so we worry. But Jesus says, no, 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 look at creation. God provides what is needed, including providing for our greatest need, our need of forgiveness. Think of the cross. At the cross, Jesus died to cover the shame of our sin. He took the shame of our sin on himself and clothed us in his righteousness. This same Jesus who calls himself the bread of life, the one who says he can give us the kind of water, the kind of drink that will mean we're never thirsty again, but we're fully satisfied in him. God is our provider. And so we need to focus our eyes on the right things. It's a very simple thing. But I found it really helpful, and I hope it is for you. When that worry whirlpool begins to spin, first and foremost, have a good look at creation. Have a good look at the cross. And you will see that God is a God who provides what we need. So don't worry. When we have a big view of our big God, it will help us not to worry, but to trust him. So that's the first thing. Have a good look. Second, have a good think. Have a good look, and then have a good think. So Jesus wants to engage our brains to think logically. Worry is often illogical. When we're in that worry whirlpool, everything's spinning around, and our brains stop making sense, and we can't think in straight lines. And so we need to train our brains to think with Bible logic. And what we're about to see is very easy to understand, and very easy to forget. So we're going to have a good think about it and rub this Bible logic into our heads. So go back to verse 26. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Do you see the point? Do you see the logic? Birds don't have any savings, but God provides for them anyway. And you are much more valuable than birds. Does anyone know what the most expensive bird in the world is? There's no reason why you should know that. Go on, Andy, what is it?
No.
Okay. I think he was saying so, yeah, a parrot. It is a kind of... is a cockatoo a parrot?
Yeah.
Yeah? The black palm cockatoo. There you go. Learn something new every day. Any ideas about how much it would cost you if you wanted to buy one of these?
$2,000,
think higher. Yaakov?
Thousands.
Say again?
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands. I'll tell you how many thousands. 12,000 pounds if you wanted a black palm cockatoo. If you're here this morning, and even if you're not here this morning, you are worth more than a black palm cockatoo. That's good to know, isn't it? You're worth more than 12,000 pounds. You are, honestly. But more to the point, you're more valuable to God. Look how God is described in verse 26. Your heavenly Father. Not their heavenly Father, your heavenly Father. God loves birds, he loves flowers. He is their creator, he is their provider, but he is not their heavenly Father. That is a relationship reserved for his royal family. Isn't that awesome? I know we each have different experiences of what a father is, but our God is everything that a father should be. So let this sink in. If you are trusting Jesus, If you are part of his royal family, then the God of the whole universe has an intimate, loving, protector-provider relationship with you, his child. That's a truth which is way bigger than any of our worries. Our worries can be really big, but this truth is bigger. The God of the universe has an intimate, loving, protector-provider relationship with you, his child. He's got you. Even when it feels like he doesn't, he does. Don't worry. You matter more to him than birds. As his royal family, we have a unique privilege that none of creation gets to share. He is our heavenly Father. And anyway, what's the point in worrying? What does it actually achieve? Look at verse 27. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? What's the answer to that?
No.
I love Jesus' teaching. I love how simple it is, and yet it's so disarming. Just in one simple sentence, you think, oh yeah. We sometimes feel like we have to worry, as if our life depends on it. And if I don't worry, then I'm not going to extend my life. And of course, there isn't anything wrong with thinking things through. But worry doesn't achieve anything. A right concern can lead to helpful action, but over-concern does nothing. It doesn't change the situation. It doesn't make you better equipped to face the situation. It just makes you more tired and more stressed out. Often, worry can be an attempt to mentally take control over a situation. I've got to think this through so that I've got some element of control. But we all know, don't we, that's false control. It doesn't actually do anything. Next time you worry, ask yourself, what is this actually achieving? What am I doing? What am I changing through this thought process? So Jesus says, have a good think. Train your brain to be logical. If God provides for the birds, he'll provide for his children. And there's a similar thing in verse 30, that the flowers of the field, they don't have any skills, they don't weave their own clothes. Do you weave clothes? I don't know. Anyway, they don't make their own clothes, but God provides. Verse 30, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? You matter more than grass. I hope I don't need to convince you of that this morning. You matter more than grass. And if God dresses the grass so beautifully, do you really think he's going to let you down? In fact, Jesus ends with that little phrase at the end of verse 30, you of little faith. If we worry about this kind of thing, it actually boils down to a lack of faith, a distrust of a good God. Now, I say that carefully because I know worry is a complicated thing and there can be physiological, medical things going on. But if God has promised to provide what we need and we are worrying about our needs, then ultimately what we're really saying is either he's not willing or he's not able. That's the whisper of the devil. Did God really say that he would provide? Personally, I know that often my battle with worry is at least in part down to a lack of faith, a sinful lack of faith. It's a distrust of God. And so I feel like I've got to take things into my own hands by worrying about it, as if that achieves anything anyway. And so when I'm in that situation, I need to remind myself of who God is and what he does. He is my Father. He is my provider. And when that Bible logic sinks in, it frees us from worry. It allows us to trust him. And that's something that will make us stand out. Verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The pagans, those who have no regard for God, they have no option but to rush around, desperately running after the things that they need. But we're different, because we've got a heavenly Father who we know. And he knows what we need. He will provide what we need. Now, of course, as we prayed earlier, sometimes our needs are not the same thing as our wants. And one of the issues we have is that we want all sorts of things, and then we convince ourselves that the thing I want is actually something I really do need. And so when God doesn't give me the thing that I want, it's like he's failed me. But God knows better than us what we really need. As Elizabeth Elliot said, God has promised to supply all our needs. What we don't have now, we don't need now. Isn't that good? If you don't have something, it's not because God has let you down, it's because he knows that you don't actually need it. Sometimes that can be hard to take. But let's listen to Jesus, because this is the promise he's making to us. Your heavenly Father knows what you need, and he's not stingy. He'll give it to you. So even in our hardest moments, even in our deepest worry, we can bring it to our heavenly Father with confidence. Just like Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, faced with the cross, where he would bear the full anger of God against sin. Distressed? Yes. Troubled? Yes. He wasn't happy-go-lucky. He wasn't having a great day. But it wasn't pointless worry. He didn't give in to the whirlpool. Instead, he laid it before his Father in anguished prayer. And even on the cross, at the moment of his death, Jesus was still trusting his Father for everything. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And by dying there in my place, he made it possible for people like me to join his royal family. And you know, the royal family life is the only way to have a true answer to worry. Some of us are probably not yet part of that royal family. You're not yet trusting the Lord Jesus for yourself. And if worry is an issue for you, then let me say, this is the only way to have a worry-free life. Or not a life that is free of worries, but a way to deal with the worry when it comes. Why? Well, trusting Jesus is the only way to be certain of life after death. And that gives us great comfort for today. Trusting Jesus is the only way to be sure that everything is ultimately working for your good. That's a promise of God. Trusting Jesus is the only way to know that the God of the universe is your heavenly Father. I would invite you today to enjoy the privilege of being part of this royal family and sharing this family relationship with the God of the universe. Could there be anything better? We can trust our heavenly Father because of who he is, because of what he's done. So when you are tempted to worry about whatever it is, and it'll be different for all of us. Maybe you worry about family, or loneliness, or your job, or exams, or paying the bills, putting food on the table, or your health, or whatever it is, whatever is churning you up inside like a whirlpool today, your heavenly Father knows what you need. And have a good think. If God provides for his creation, won't he provide for his children? It isn't saying that we don't need to bother working or saving or planning. It's not saying that. But it is saying that whatever our circumstances, I know I'm saying the same thing over and over again, right? But we need to rub this logic in, because it's so hard to actually accept, particularly when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances. Whatever our circumstances, our Heavenly Father will provide everything that we need. What an amazing privilege. So those are the first two things. Have a good look, and then have a good think. And the third thing is this. Have a good priority. Have a good priority. So this is the flip side to not worrying. If the negative is do not worry, then here's the positive. Here's something better to focus your energies on. Look at verse 33. Jesus says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first his kingdom. This is a priority. Something to go straight to the top of our to-do list. First things first. When we worry, we focus on our troubles. But here's something else to pursue instead. Jesus says, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Trust his sovereign kingly rule and walk in obedience to his righteous ways. First things first means we'll be more concerned with the things of God than the things that we need. If we're preoccupied with the things of heaven, we'll have less time to worry about the things of earth. When we realise that God is not only provider and father, but he's also king, that will help us to trust his sovereign plan and seek his good purpose in our lives. So in a sense, it's very similar to what we were talking about last week. Jesus said, store up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. Make it your priority to know Jesus better and make Jesus known. And as you do, God promises that he will provide. Verse 33 again. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So material concerns are not only distracting, but they are also unnecessary, because we have a father who provides for his royal family. It's a waste of resources to spend time and energy in the whirlpool of worry. Those resources could be much better used focused on the things of God. So seeking his kingdom is an antidote to worry, because when this is your priority, God will provide all that you need. That goes against what we would normally think. Normally, our priority would be, we'll get food on the table first before we serve in church. Work schedule comes first. Homework comes first. And if I've got time, then I'll read my Bible. We treat our physical needs as if they are the bare necessities, and then the things of God as if they are an optional extra. But that's just a recipe for worry. If you get first things first, God will sort out the rest. And so, don't worry. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day does have trouble. So God's promise for provision does not mean that we'll have a life without challenges. We are not immune to sickness or poverty. But it does mean that whatever worries we face, his resources will be enough. So don't worry about tomorrow. Anxiety has been helpfully defined as playing out the future in advance. Corrie ten Boom was a Christian who helped to hide Jews from the Nazis during the Second World War. She was arrested. She was kept in a concentration camp. Fair to say that she knew a thing or two about worrying situations. But she said this: worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. That's so helpful. God has promised to give you what you need for today, not tomorrow, for today. Like the manna on the ground, he will give you the strength and the grace for today. And so don't try to face tomorrow with today's resources. Worrying doesn't make tomorrow any better, it just makes today worse. And so rather than spiraling down into the whirlpool of worry, Jesus says, have a good priority. Put it at the top of your to-do list to enjoy your Heavenly Father and walk in his ways. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and let him take care of the rest. When worry strikes, perhaps some of us try to escape from reality. We distract ourselves from what's really going on. We don't want to face our fears. We don't want to focus on our worries. And so we try not to focus on anything. We just go into escape mode. But better still, to focus on something good. Have a good priority. That's the third way to obey this gentle command of Jesus to not worry. And so Jesus ends this section of his sermon. He's been talking about our attitude to stuff. Last week he said, don't store up stuff. Today, don't worry about stuff. And so when that worry whirlpool begins, Let's get our priorities straight and break out of the whirlpool before we sink down the plug hole. When anxiety rears its head, when the things of this world and the needs of this world seem to be the only thing that matters, Jesus says, have a good look around and see that God is provider. Have a good think about what that means and realize that God is your Father. Have a good priority, seeing that God is King and that His kingdom matters the most. And when we see that God is provider, that He is Father and that He is King, I hope that helps us to trust Him. I hope it will help us as members of His royal family to live the trusting life. Let's pray about that, shall we? Father, we thank you so much that you are a God with a track record, that we only have to look at creation, we only have to look at the cross, we only have to look in our own lives to see so many ways in which you have provided for us, for your creation. You've given us so many good gifts. There have been so many times where we wondered how we were going to cope, how we were going to get through the day. And you are a God who has never let us down. Father, we know that there has often been times where we haven't had everything that we wanted, and we've struggled with that because our wants often feel like needs. Help us to trust that you know better what we really need. Lord, please would you equip us to have a big view of who you are, a wonderful view of your lovely character, your giving nature. And as we do, please would you help us when worry strikes to be able to trust you in everything. Lord, I want to pray particularly for those here this morning who are going through particular times of worry or concern. Maybe there are big issues approaching in life, or worry is a daily struggle. Please, for those in that situation today, would you fill them with your peace as they see you for who you really are? Would we be enabled not to be blasé and insincere about the way that we deal with troubles in our life, but rather to have that deep trust in you as our providing Heavenly Father? And once again, we thank you for the privilege that it is to be able to call you that as we come through the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen.